broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, to promote, defend, and stand with the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, to reject revolution, unless it's a Jesus revolution, and to stand for the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, faith-filled Friday. So there is hope, but boy, howdy, is it looking dismal in America today. Without trust in God Almighty, without guidance from the Holy Ghost and protection from God from keeping his commandments, we's in serious trouble, to pardon a phrase. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. I hope everyone's doing fine today. It's kind of a wintry day today. We got some fog and some snow and
good, bring
all that
it.
Kind of stuff. Yeah, bring it on, baby. We need the water, right?
Amen. Absolutely. We need the water. I also love the cooler weather. I don't like it when it's all hotter than heck outside. I don't like that. The cooler weather is just fine with me.
Nope, today's not going to be your hotter than heck day.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Love it. Anyway, now, there's so many discussions that are so nuanced that they're really, really difficult to discuss. And thanks for long-form radio, because sound bites just will not get the discussion or the job done adequately. Headline says this, quote, Donald Trump says he never swore oath to support the Constitution. You heard me. Donald Trump says he never swore oath to support the Constitution. Now, Trump lawyers are arguing this very point in court. The Trump lawyers argued that he never supported the Constitution. So this isn't just Donald. It's Donald, it's lawyers, it's in court, it's everything. Now here's the nuanced part of the whole thing. Donald Trump's argument is that the 14th Amendment doesn't disqualify him from office. They say at first glance that might be laughable and disturbing, but he never did take an oath to support the Constitution. What do we mean? Section 3 of the amendment disqualifies insurrectionists who have previously taken oath to support the Constitution. Fine, right? But the argument goes like this. In his Colorado Supreme Court, quote, appeal, he's eligible for the presidency, the judge says, in 2024. Why? Because he swore to preserve, protect, and uphold, and defend the Constitution, not support the Constitution. I don't mean to play games with words, but the judge supported it. The problem with the whole idea and language, I mean, there's so many aspects to this. It's hard to know where to start. But number one, just because a judge somewhere in a robe says Donald committed an insurrection, January 6th was not an insurrection. Secondly, even if it was an insurrection, are we going to play games with uphold or protect or defend versus support versus... Well, now the 14th Amendment becomes the very problem you and I have pointed out on this program over and over and over, the problem that the 14th Amendment creates. It violates all kinds of aspects of the intent of the founders as well. So it's so nuanced. We're playing games with semantics or words on one hand. On the other hand, not really. We're talking about fundamental realities of innocent until proven guilty. We're talking about what an insurrection is. We're talking about what the Constitution is and what you really swear an oath to. It sounds laughable. You want to go against Donald at first glance on this, but when you dig in, you kind of go, there's a real discussion to be had, Dr. Bradley.
I think it's all Bravo Sierra. I'll call it out right now up front, and then we'll talk about it. First of all, if he's saying he did not take the oath, he did not become president. Okay.
Well, that's so, exactly right.
This guy has to watch where he's walking on this thing.
And that is kind of my quintessential point. On one hand, it's a bunch of BS and semantics and games. But look, did he really swear an oath? If so, what does that oath say? And are we going to play games with words or not? That's number one, right?
Oh, I think, Sam, you do a pretty good imitation of Billy Boy Clinton. And this idea about that depends on what the definition of the word is.
Amen to that.
we are getting off in the weeds on this stuff, the plain English words and what they mean. This is a written constitution. Words have meanings. Those meanings may be known, and they can only mean what they meant in the day they were written. Okay, so we are playing so much logerese on this thing. I'm a little ticked off about this. I mean, you just told it to me, so I haven't had time to get into a full wrath on the thing. But if we have individuals coming into the presidency that are plainly stating that they're not going to do what is required, let's look at the last paragraph in Article 2, Section 1. Okay, this is what it states. Before he enter on the execution of his office, he, and all this he in this, it's about the president. Article 2 is the president's job description, okay? So the references to he are to the president. Before he enter into the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation, quoting.
Now, hold on. Listen carefully to this oath, people.
Okay. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. End quote. Okay, so here we have, if we're going to nuance this thing, now I think he has a far, far, far more powerful position to take about this Article 3 of the, Section 3, of Amendment 14, that he could fight that till the cows come home. Okay, and be right. Absolutely, he can absolutely win and be right and all that other stuff on this. This idea that he's engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Okay, people, let's discuss what's involved in this kind of thing. Where's the due process? Where is this? How has there been anything other than opinions, and basically incorrect opinions in every regard that I've ever seen in regards to how he was in an insurrection, okay, and a rebellion. Okay, he can argue that far better than the plain English words of Article 2, where he takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Now I want to stop you there for a second, and I want to say this. When you preserve, protect, and defend, it does mean that you support the Constitution. The problem with the language of the 14th Amendment is that it violates the first portion that you're referring to, number one. And number two, then, a judge getting to call it an insurrection. A judge doesn't just decide what an insurrection is. So Donald's an insurrectionist, but because of the word support, he doesn't have to support it. Therefore, even though he's an insurrectionist, he can hold the office. Wait a minute. First off, he either swore an oath, not to the 14th Amendment. He swore an oath to the Constitution based on the clause you cited, based on the oath, number one. Number two, semantics with words doesn't count. Either he swore an oath or he didn't. If he didn't, he was never president. If he did, he has to uphold, defend, protect, support. I don't care what words we use. And the separation between that versus insurrection is the real discussion, not playing games like, yes, you're an insurrectionist, but because of the word support in different language in a 14th Amendment that was passed later, we're going to use that against the original Constitution. See, what we're doing is playing games, splitting hairs, pretending we're gods, and violating the whole intent of the founders here. That's what's really going on, Doctor.
Here's the deal. The 14th Amendment was written by the venomous, and written in venom also, radical Republicans of the post-so-called Civil War. These individuals are, if their origins, if you want to go look at the origins someday, and maybe we will get a chance to do this, they're Marxist in their origins when it comes to the gathering of power to a central point to be exercised across the entire land.
And they're really insurrectionists in their Reconstruction era in doing so.
Absolutely. Lincoln and Marx corresponded often. Marx was a correspondent into the New York newspapers there. He wrote over 500 articles during the Lincoln administration. Lincoln and him exchanged concepts. I mean, I'm just giving you this superficial view of this thing. But Marx,
yeah, but hold on. But you're summarizing the facts, though. Those aren't debatable discussions.
Right.
Those are reality, documented, written down realities.
Absolutely. So anyway, these radical Republicans that passed this 14th Amendment and then foisted upon the nation. But by the way, go read the Dight v. Turner, 1968, 100 years later, Utah Supreme Court ruling on the Dight v. Turner. Just read the part about the 14th Amendment. And maybe we can come back and talk about this for a minute.
We'll do it quickly. Actually, skip the break. Talk about it. We'll do it. We got to move on to the weaponization of the government because that's really what's at stake here.
Okay, so Dight v. Turner was a Utah Supreme Court case in 1968. The Utah Supreme Court railed, waxed eloquent about the 14th Amendment. And talked about the absolutely scurrilous ratification of it. I mean, states were excommunicated and states that had ratified it and then pulled back their ratification and the whole ire of the 13th Amendment was ratified because the southern states came back in. They were in the country. They booted them out when the 14th Amendment came forward. 14th Amendment was written to basically disenfranchise the natural leadership of the southern states, okay? And the 14th Amendment, the reason the Utah Supreme Court was involved in it was because they felt like they were being shoehorned by the 14th Amendment and the way the government was adjudicating it and interpreting it, that basically the general government became the overseer of everything within each state. Anyway, and it has proved out to be that. I mean, we're talking 50-plus years later, and it's on steroids. At any rate, the intention of the American Founding Fathers was that all who held office were bound to the U.S. Constitution. We can go back to the Article 6, and we can read over about, you know, being bound, anything to the Constitution and so on, notwithstanding senators, representatives, before mentioned, members of the several state legislatures, all executive judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. Okay, so the president had a specific oath in Article 2 that the president was required to take before assuming office.
And pardon the pun, that oath trumps any 14th Amendment manipulations to the contrary.
Well, a 14th Amendment, like I say, written with venom by a venomous Marxist radical Republicans, and literally, though, in Section 5 of that, there's a kind of a wiggle room clause where Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. So Congress can say, wait, you guys are all whacked out on this. This is how it's going to be. And Congress can straighten it out. I would recommend the complete abrogation of the 14th Amendment. Let's be done with it. It's archaic. Let's remove it by another amendment.
It's being used to divide and conquer the Constitution and the intent of the founders. The list goes on and on.
Well, here's the problem. It is being used to become the oversight by the general government, by everybody in the United States. And it's wrong. It's an improper application of anything. And if you wanted to spend a minute or two on it, we could. But
yeah, the point is it guts the Constitution and the intent thereof, folks. It really does.
Here's for example, there were a lot of proposed Bill of Rights amendments at the beginning.
And most were rejected.
1789. Yeah, they were, but there was 17 that were seriously considered, and they ended up passing by two-thirds, 12 of them. So the states got 12 to ratify. 10 of them were ratified initially. 2 were not. 1 was a couple hundred years later, so that became an amendment. But here's one that did not make the cut. No state shall violate the equal rights of conscience or the freedom of the press or trial by jury in criminal cases. You say, well, those are all good things. Nobody's supposed to violate equal right of conscience, freedom of the press, or trial by jury. And here's why it was rejected. Because that amendment in the General Constitution would have opened the door for people to say, oh, I just had a trial. My trial by jury was not right in a criminal case. I'm going to appeal it to a federal court. And they'd said, no, the states have a measure of their own governance, a sovereignty, if people want to talk about that, that they can
govern. In other words, it violated the dual sovereignty we're discussing here. It gave too much power to the feds. And
absolutely,
everything would roll to the feds by nature, and they wanted to stop that.
And so they did. They did not do that. The 14th Amendment, under the Marxists that were in Congress, they pulled that off with the 14th Amendment. Well, they suppose they did. It really didn't, but it supposes it did. It ruined the separation of powers issue. And the Utah Supreme Court in 1968, there were some sound thinkers in there at that time on this Dight v. Turner case. So go read it. You don't have to read the whole case. It's pretty mundane and inane and everything else like that about a warden and a prisoner. But they're railing on the American Constitution, 14th Amendment, has very great validity today. But I am so disappointed that Trump has walked in it on this one.
Oh, no question.
Office. Bravo, Sierra. If you didn't, were never the president.
So the problem is you either, one, agreed to the oath, or you didn't. If you didn't, you're not president. If you agreed to the oath, then that's fine. And it's true, the word support's not there, but again, we're playing with semantics, and what they're really doing is they're trying to say this. We're going to document that there was an insurrection, and that you are the lead insurrectionist. Now, you can still be on the ballot because of the word support, so we're going to, but what they're really doing is setting the stage and sowing the seeds for future destruction of everything, because if Donald Trump is the chief insurrectionist, and it was an insurrection, then eventually you are part of that insurrection, Scott Bradley. Sam Bushman is part of that insurrection, not because we were there. No, we weren't there. That doesn't matter. You see, Donald didn't go to the Capitol either. Stuart Rhodes never went into the Capitol either, right? And so the problem is with this Colorado Supreme Court, on one hand, you go, oh, yeah, good, Trump can be on the ballot. What you don't understand is they're using the 14th Amendment to destroy the oath of office, on one hand, defend it, on the other hand, turn the former president into an insurrectionist without real due process of law by a single judge. What we're talking about now is the weaponization of the federal government. Believe it or not, there was a censorship hearing that was held on this. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. literally testified before the House Judiciary Committee on this thing. It's a hearing on the weaponization of the federal government. And it's being weaponized against Donald. It's being weaponized against you and I. PeoplesRights.net has a huge article on this. That's Ammon Bundy's group. But the bottom line here is, that's how they're basically using this manipulation too, to say, well, Robert F. Kennedy doesn't belong in the Democratic Party. Kick him out or shut him down. Don't give him a fair chance in the primary. This is what they did to Rand Paul before, and what they're doing to Ron Paul before that. Okay, so they did it to Ron Paul in 2 elections and Rand in 1. And they even did it when Ron Paul ran as a libertarian back in the day. Ron ran 3 times. Rand ran once. So anyway, all I'm telling you is they're using this, all these things, to weaponize the government. Pretty soon, no one will know what the Constitution says or means, and everybody will be like, this thing's so convoluted, throw it out. This thing's so convoluted, we can't have it. That's where they're going with this agenda. Their goal is weaponizing the government against anybody who stands for the rule of law and anybody who does anything right at all. So RFK Jr. got the chance to speak out boldly about this weaponization of the government, and boy, howdy were his comments on target, Doctor.
If I might give three brief statements by Thomas Jefferson, okay? Pretty bright guy. Okay, here's the first one. The Constitution on which our Union rests shall be administered by me according to the safe and honest meaning contemplated by the plain understanding of the people of the United States at the time of its adoption, a meaning to be found in the explanations of those who advocated, not those who opposed it. These explanations are preserved in the publications of the time. That was the first quotation. Next one.
Which means we must interpret the Constitution in the traditions of the founders. It's not a modern moving. We can just debate it till the cows come home and change words and play games and say, oh, well, I did or did not swear. I did or did not use the word support. I did or did not. Then it isn't that. Clearly, the idea was allegiance to the supreme law of the land, that if you're going to become president, you have absolute allegiance to do your very best to interpret and carry out the Constitution in the traditions of the Founding Fathers according to the understanding they had at the time. That is very clear.
Correct. Next quotation. On every question of construction, that's how we build this thing, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. Okay? And this all goes back to this, what the meaning of is, okay? Bill Clinton was a slime ball. Still is, by the way. Here's the third one. Laws are made for men of ordinary understanding and should therefore be construed by the ordinary rules of common sense. Their meaning is not to be sought for in metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. Okay, all of these things were clearly stated
The point here is that you and I can just common sense understand this. It was meant for the farmer. It was meant for the average American. It wasn't meant for lawyers to use, partisan phrases, redefinition of terms, debating about terms, using one section against the other. It's kind of like how you can Bible bash and debate the Bible all day long. You can use parts of it against one another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That division is of Satan. The founders understood generally that we must turn to God and we must unify on these fundamental understandable principles that everybody should be able to understand. Look, you promise you'll defend the Constitution. We're not in a debate about the word support. Either Donald signed it, meaning he swore the oath, or he didn't. Either he is defending the Constitution or he's not. Either there was an insurrection or there was not. This is very clear. This is not complicated, Doctor.
Thomas Jefferson, I mean, I love his term, metaphysical subtleties, which may make anything mean everything or nothing at pleasure. I watched Donald Trump take the oath of office, okay? I wasn't there in person.
I was.
I watched it on TV. You were there
in person? I was there in person, buddy.
Okay, well, you heard the words come out of his mouth.
Yes, he did.
Live and on the air. And
but it did not say support, because that's in the 14th Amendment, not in the original oath. See?
Absolutely.
That's where the
absurdity.
Nuance, that's where the game playing, that's where these last phrases that you're bringing up matters. These subtleties that mean supposedly everything or nothing at all or whatever else, that's where they're playing the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I heard him. I was there in the crowd, ladies and gentlemen. I was in Washington, D.C. at the event.
Maybe they'll subpoena you to come in and testify what you heard, Sam. I don't know.
Fat chance.
What do you think?
But they ought to.
Anyway, I am absolutely shocked. I think that they have walked in it this time. I think that the president and his lawyers need to have their heads examined if they're going to follow that line of reasoning. He was never president, if they're correct.
Oh, boy. Hard-hitting talk, I'll tell you that. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, continues in seconds on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The red state, blue state debate took place last night on Fox News. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis and California Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom were clearly polar opposites on how the country should move forward. This was a great display of democracy and how politics should work in this great nation. Fighting has resumed in Gaza early this morning after Hamas and Israel failed to announce an agreement on extending the ceasefire before it expired. Israel claims Hamas fired rockets into unoccupied Israeli territory, prompting the IDF to resume the extraction of Hamas terrorists from the Gaza Strip. The renewed fighting comes after a seven-day pause. In that window of time, Hamas released roughly 100 hostages, including two Americans. And Israel released 240 Palestinians from Israeli jails. Israel also allowed more aid trucks into Gaza to help address the humanitarian crisis. The Sarasota Police Department is investigating a sexual battery allegation against Florida GOP Chair Christian Ziegler. The detective's report says that the individual reported being sexually battered at home in Sarasota on October 2nd. The Sarasota Police Department records indicate that the case is an active criminal investigation. Ziegler's attorney, Derek Byrd, said he's confident his client will be completely exonerated and said he's been fully cooperative with every request made by the Sarasota Police Department. House Speaker Mike Johnson will receive an award for the Zionist Organization of America in recognition for his defense of Israel. The event will take place Sunday at the Marriott Hotel in New York City. Speaker Johnson, a Louisiana Republican, will receive the Dr. Miriam and Sheldon Adelson Defense of Israel Award. Thanks for listening, my friend. We are USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, so I don't know what Donald Trump and his lawyers are thinking, but a statement from Donald and attorneys saying he never swore an oath to support the Constitution is insane. I don't know what the word support means in terms of uphold or defend or protect or defend. You know, okay, well, I don't know, man. We're into semantics. What they're really doing is using the 14th Amendment against the oath. What they're really doing is playing games about, yes, Donald's an insurrectionist. A single judge in an appellate court says that. Now they're on appeal. Folks, what we're really talking about is they are involved in a weaponization of the federal government. RFK Jr. spoke about this. He testified in a, quote, censorship hearing, ladies and gentlemen. He testified before the House Judiciary Committee hearing on the weaponization of the federal government. So when I tell you that the federal government's being weaponized, and then they're like, oh, man, you're just a conspiracy nut, well, then why the heck are they holding hearings on it, Doctor?
Well, obviously, in the last 3 years, I mean, I admit, it's been going on for decades, generations.
That's
literally.
Right. But it has escalated, without a doubt.
The last 3.5 years... And by the way, there's some things in about some of these platforms that are out there, like YouTube. YouTube, literally, it appears from some of the evidence that's coming out, and again, due process hasn't been fully chased on this thing. But it appears that YouTube was being directed by the White House to eliminate information that was not, according to the death jab narrative that they want. It's not a narrative. It's not a storyline. It is a script. And I lost 1,500 videos. They completely deplatformed me. We've talked about this before. We don't need to belabor it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm probably the reason that happened. The White House looked at my stuff and said, holy cow, we can't let this guy have a voice. And so, poof, gone. And YouTube was an instrument of the general government. I mean, this idea that they're going to yes or yes or three bags full, everything. We have cowards running everything. Now, of course, part of the problem is that so much of the money that's involved, whether it's money from pharma companies in these instances or the taxpayer money that's being put into some of these media programs, we had a saying when I was a kid, and I don't remember the whole origins of it, but it was, if you accept the nickel, you accept the noose, meaning if you took the money, they get to put a noose around your neck, and they can use that leash to lead you in.
That's always been the case and will always be the case.
Indeed.
So there you have it. You know, where do you go with that is the problem. But it gets worse. So RFK testified at this event. But now we have Clay Higgins. I don't know if you know who Clay Higgins is, but he's a representative. How do I say it? I guess it's Louisiana from L.A. is what they say. Congressman's bombshell. Over 200 FBI agents were embedded within the crowd on January the 6th. It was a, quote, government operation, says the congressman. Jim Hoft, the Gateway Pundit, .com with the story. Representative Higgins told Salcido, I guess on one of these TV shows over at whatever that place is called, that at least 200 FBI agents dressed as Trump supporters were literally in the crowd on January the 6th, 2021. They say this, it was a government operation all the way. Doctor?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have provocateurs that are involved in this. I mean, whether it's the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, the Oak City bombing that happened with Timothy McVeigh and all his glory, or whether it's a thing that happened with Randy Weaver, or it happened at Waco, the government...
9/11...
How could I probably overlook that? What about the Kennedy assassination? I mean, all of these things, Pat Shannon, I think, is your buddy that wrote the book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie.
That's right.
It is so disgusting to me. I mean, if you have, I don't know how big the crowd was that day, but if you divide 200, you know, by that number, you can find the percentage.
Just take it this way. There were literally a million there, so the percentage is small. However, when you talk about provocateurs and those who went into the Capitol, they say about 1,200 so far have been arrested, on most of them on tiny charges and everything else. Then it's a massive percentage. Because remember, we're talking about provocateurs dressed as Trump supporters, FBI agents. We're not talking about all the masses that prayed outside and went home. We're not talking about that group, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If those 200 provocateurs, I'm going to call them that until proven otherwise, okay? If those 200
they're fake FBI, or they're FBI agents faking to be Donald Trump supporters, many of them caught with insurrectionist acts.
Right. And so if the 200 actually went into the Capitol, and there were 1,200 that went in the Capitol, that's 16% of those that were in there were leading the band. I mean, they were the ones at the head of the parade, I guess. And here they are, government agents that were fostering whatever the outcome was. And here we're going to spin this into an insurrection when it was government agents that were at the basis of it in many, many, many ways. It's a it's a pretty damning revelation if this turns
out to be serious.
What's carried out.
Well, it is turned out to be true. The congressman speaking out about it, this is serious. He's not the only one that spoke out about it, but he's the one that's documented the 200 number. In the Stuart Rhodes case, it came out that Stuart Rhodes was actually working with the Secret Service. Then when it was brought up, the Secret Service lied and said no. Then it turned out in court that it was proven that they lied, and the answer was yes. That came out after Stuart Rhodes was convicted. Now, Stuart Rhodes isn't really a shill for the government. He was actually trying to work to protect Donald Trump and offered to be a service organization to protect the president should something go wrong. Well, then because Trump never called upon Stuart Rhodes and crew, they never took any action. The only action that the Oath Keepers took is they did create some ways to protect the cops and rescue some cops to safety. They did do some of those things. There might have been a couple of bad apples that were in the Oath Keepers that did things. But again, how many of those are part of the 200? The bottom line is Yale graduated attorney Stuart Rhodes, who never went into the Capitol, sits in prison while Ray Epps runs around free pretty much. And while 200 FBI agents, that doesn't even count agents from CIA, Homeland Security, Air Marshals, government people from, say, the Capitol Police or any other government entities, that doesn't even include those people, Doctor.
Well, maybe if the truth be known, the crowds would have been pretty sparse then if all of the government agents had not been there that day. Who do you know?
Let's talk about crowds. See, most of the crowds, there was a million people there probably. Most people went home peacefully. Most people prayed outside on the lawn. Very few people comparatively even went to the Capitol and into the Capitol.
It's true. It's very true, and I would venture to guess that the provocateurs, the government provocateurs, were probably concentrated on those that went inside the Capitol. I mean, this is where the action is. This is where, you know, they get the big splash, all that kind of stuff.
Either they went into the Capitol and or they were acting as kind of, you know, when you go to an event, how they have people along the way that kind of point you in the right direction and kind of guide you where to go, you know, hey, getting the lines over here, or, you know, hey, you can go through these four doors, or they, you know, when you cross the street, they point out, you know, cross and go that way, or there's people, many of them acted that way, making you believe that what you're doing was fine and you're being directed to do so.
Well, they were ushers. I guess you could call them that.
That's right. They're just outside and all over the place, but they were literally ushers. That's right.
Yeah. Well, see, that's
they took down the barricades so people didn't realize when they crossed lines they maybe shouldn't have. They took down, you literally see video now that's coming out of cops shaking hands with Trump supporters and people that were at the Capitol, welcoming them in. I mean, none of this video came out at first because the government covered it all up, which is just more and more evidence that this is a weaponization of our government.
Well, it seems to me that there's growing evidence that the convictions were railroaded.
Go ahead and skip the break. This is just too good, Doctor. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the convictions were railroads. I mean, the House hearings on the so-called insurrection were jokes. I really would like to see MAGA Johnson release the transcripts of what was said. You know, during the Pelosi time when they had their hearings, and do a head-to-head comparison to what actually happened based upon the videos. We got video of all this stuff, and I think that every single individual.
Well, even MAGA Mike Johnson says he's going to release most of the video, but 5% is not going to be released because of, quote, national security concerns. Now, think about this. If there's 44,000 hours of video, and I'm going to hold back 5%. What's 5% of 44,000, Doctor? I'm kind of stupid.
Well,
but
2,200.
It's a lot of hours, buddy.
Yeah.
And what is that 5%? Is it really a national security concern, or is it the ones that'll get the government the most caught with their hand in the cookie jar?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the problem. We don't have a, it's not the problem, it's not the only problem, there's many, many problems, but it is one of the major problems is we do not have a transparent government anymore. And really this idea of only holding back what is a national security thing, they can. I've been in these circles that where they decide what's going to be classified and what's not going to be classified. And it is totally based upon judgmental or subjective kinds of things that
superficial agendas.
Something out. Now, there's clearly things. I mean, if you talk about the propulsion system of the SR-71 airplane, I know I'm dating myself, but if that kind of stuff was going to be revealed, that would be obviously you'd have to hold it back. But the fact of the matter is, so little of the stuff that is currently classified is worthy of that in the true sense. So, yeah,
that's right.
This is
but see, they're going after the Donald for classified documents. They're leaving, as far as I can tell, Joe Biden alone regarding his classified mistakes. Even though Donald Trump was the president and has a lot more right to classified information than, say, Joe Biden did as VP. But it gets even worse under the weaponization of the federal government. Henry Kissinger just died at 100 years old. But look, deep state leaders praise Kissinger. We, meaning Sam Bushman and others, denounce the war criminal. China calls the guy an old friend. So, you know, we look at this Kissinger thing, but listen carefully to me. Why Trump being attacked? Looks like Joe Biden had a ton of those files, but nobody had as many classified files, wrongfully so, compared to Henry Kissinger. Think about this German immigrant. Henry Kissinger had more classified files than anybody with zero scrutiny or repercussions, and now he's dead.
Well, he's only escaped the mortal court system. I believe justice
That's exactly
ultimately
right.
And finally going to be done. You know, I say about Henry Kissinger, only the good die young, and Henry died at 100 years old, so I rest my case. This man has more blood on his hands, more culpability for more things. I mean, literally, I mean, he was born in 1923 in Germany, served in World War II, and he came to the U.S. He started, this is how far back his dastardly involvement started. He started consulting with Dwight Eisenhower, John Kennedy, LBJ, Richard Nixon. Now, he came into his full voice with Richard Nixon. Nixon made him the National Security Advisor.
Yeah, he was quietly behind the scenes as a consultant for literally 20-plus years. And then early 70, he kind of came out as the, quote, key designated man, right?
Exactly. And Nixon made him his National Security Advisor and ultimately supplanted the Secretary of State and made him Secretary of State. And so we had, I mean, so many things. He's the guy that ultimately set up the most favored nation status for Red China. He set China up to be the most powerful nation on earth, economically at least, and it carried on through Ronald Reagan with Reagan's involvement in the passage.
But he also
of the
set
most
the stage
nation.
For us to fund their war building machine as well.
Absolutely. He's the guy that betrayed the POWs, for example, in the Paris Peace Accords that were signed in 1973. They signed them, I think, in January, if I recall correctly. And they shared, him and the North Vietnamese negotiator shared the Nobel Peace Prize. The North Vietnamese negotiator had the integrity to decline the Nobel Peace Prize. And there's no peace yet, he said. And so anyway, the thing that's interesting, 2 years later, in 1975, the domino effect, the idea of, rushing forward to Saigon and taking over there. I mean, Cambodia and Laos and South Vietnam all fell. the thing that's really bad, it's not the only thing that's bad, but it's one thing that is we left behind probably two-thirds of our POWs, at least 1,500 of them. And they're either now aging collateral that are rotting away somewhere in Southeast Asia, or they're dead. I mean, we left them. We abandoned them. Henry Kissinger had a hand in all of that stuff. And then he was the consummate deep state guy.
He was a war criminal with classified documents that never had any scrutiny over it at all.
He said that power was the ultimate aphrodisiac. Look up what an aphrodisiac is. I mean, come on, people. This guy was an insider's insider that pulled the strings. You know, I've said that Kissinger, because he was born in Germany in 1923, could never be president. They absolutely still recognized the natural-born citizen thing in those days. But I believe he was more powerful than most presidents. I believe behind the scenes, he was pulling strings and playing out scenarios that literally set the stage for where we are in America today. And, you know, people say God rest his soul or speak no ill of the dead. I say good riddance. but it is what it is. Only the good die young, and he died at 100. And by the way, the Chinese spoke truly when they said he was
called him
a
good friend, buddy.
He was a good friend for them. And truly, he sold out this country, his adopted country. I don't think he ever adopted anything other than a globalist, you know, subversion of the United States into a world government. I think that's how it actually played out. But, I mean, I know.
Well, look, Kissinger's a Chinese old friend. The United States makes Communist China our most favored nation trading partner, and they don't want you to be on TikTok.
Well, I don't do TikTok, Sam. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm just making a point, though, that, you know what, how can you say don't do TikTok when you have Kissinger, our leader, you know, and you have Joe Biden literally hanging out with the communist Chinese, calling them friends, and they're our most favored nation trading partner on a public policy point of view. We don't even accept Taiwan as a separate country. We have a one-China policy with regards to that. We literally back their every play, fund their military. They're our most favored nation trading partner. But then, you know, hey, if you're on TikTok, you could be in a bad spot. How does all that play?
Well, it doesn't. It's
I'm not defending TikTok. Don't misunderstand the point.
No, you're right. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we strain at gnats and swallow camels, if you can go back to the scriptural references, and we recognize that all of these things that are going on that are totally subversive to the Americanist perspective, the founding principles, all that kind of stuff, and it's being carried out on a grand scale. And when we get some teenage girls that are being criticized for being on TikTok, again, I agree with you. I don't in any way, shape, or form propose or support or, you know, suggest anything.
Yeah, we're not defending TikTok. That isn't the point. The point is, how can it be bad to be on, use this app as a teenage girl and dance, or use this app as Vivek Ramaswamy to promote your presidency to the younger population, while we let Kissinger hang out with China, and China says he's a good old friend, and then Joe Biden hangs out with China, and as a national policy, we say they're our most favored nation trading partner. As a national policy, we transfer technology to them all the time. As a national partner, we fund their military. We have trade. We make special trade deals in their favor at our expense. But yet the teenage girl, or Vivek, for example, is on TikTok. Haley criticized Vivek for being on TikTok. He's just like, well, I'm trying to speak to the younger audiences. And she's literally courting China just like Kissinger was.
Well, Haley is an insider's insider. She's a World Economic Forum young world leader. I mean, this individual, I mean, she was the United Nations ambassador.
Ambassador.
This woman is
and
not
a governor.
Not anything but an insider's insider.
Well, and now you got the Koch brothers deciding they're going to back her. She's the one to supposedly take down the Donald.
Okay. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Koch brothers, but have you ever found anything they were on the right side of?
No.
Truly. When you sorted this
they
down
appear to be conservative if you take first glance. If you really study them, everything they do undermines everything that I stand for and believe in.
Yep. So you say, oh, the Koch brothers are after them. Oh, my goodness, the conservative ones with the money in their pockets. Forget it. I mean,
the fact that they're backing Nikki Haley gives you the story, doesn't it?
It does. By the way, you keep leaving Bill Clinton off I know it's not purposefully, and it's you can only make a list so long, but Bill Clinton was in bed with the communist Chinese, and he sold his presidency to them
Oh, yeah. Bill Clinton and Barack both. In fact, I still think we're in Barack's third presidency, if you want to be honest with you.
Well, maybe so. And then there's talk of his wife, I think. I don't know.
Michael?
Anyway, this, huh? Michelle?
Michael Obama?
Yeah. I know. Okay, the wink-wink kind of thing, you know. But at any rate, she's not qualified to cross the street alone. She really isn't. I mean, you look at her bona fides. I mean, what does she bring to the table?
Well, about the same as Kamala Harris.
Okay. You rest your case. But she's a shrill. She's racist. She has to. It's so tough to be the first lady as a black woman. Blah, 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 blah. But at any rate, there's talk
about black women are held down, but they could be the first lady, right?
Right. I mean, it's kind of like this is cognitive dissonance to the nth degree. But we have been selling our country out, and I believe Henry Kissinger.
And then you and I are racist, but Barack Obama was supposedly the second black president. Bill was the first. Obama's the third black president, they claim.
Obama is?
Obama was the second black president. Biden, was the third.
Biden, okay. You got me confused. Yeah. Sometimes I try and pay attention, and sometimes when something doesn't add up, I have to do a real quick pause. Anyway.
Sometimes they just claim, why? Because they've advanced the causes of the blacks in the way that the agenda calls for, right? That's why Bill and Biden, even though they're both white, were black, you know, presidents. Look, Barack was only half black. He's as much white as he is black, right? But yet he's a black president, see?
Kamala identifies as a black, but that's not her full heritage either.
That's right.
I mean, there's so many things, and it's kind of like, well, I identify as a millionaire. Right. The laughter in the background that you're hearing is my wife, you know. I mean, come on, people.
I identify as a millionaire, too. You want to know why? Because I've got eight wonderful children and grandchildren, what do they call that? And heritage from the Lord.
You're wealthy in all the things that money can't buy.
I'm wealthy, my friend.
Wealthy in all the things that money can't buy. So, yeah, I understand, and I agree with you completely. But someone's identification. Didn't Pocahontas, what's her name, the senator that...
Elizabeth Warren.
I mean, she identified as being a Native American. Again, I called Bravo Sierra. We've used that several times in this show. This is absolutely absurd what people are doing today. And you can be... I mean, Trump's doing it too. I didn't take the oath of office. I just never was alone with that woman. Depends on what alone means and is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We are straining at things that the society is unraveling.
Good's evil, evil's good, ladies and gentlemen, while they weaponize our government. In fact, I believe they're weaponizing our government to the point of no return. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Forget Trump for a second. Forget Jim Jordan, who is under attack. Forget MAGA Mike Johnson, who's under attack, or Kevin McCarthy, or some of these other people. I want to talk about Ammon Bundy being under attack, Ken Cromar being under attack. Not because I want to spend too much time on them, but because I want to tie that to you and I. We're going to do that next hour, because this is serious. Just the headline, Ammon Bundy's now disappeared. Did you know that?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, I say that guardedly because you don't hope anything bad has happened to him. But I think he has been pestered and hounded and herded and beaten by the establishment.
We're going to talk about it all.
So long.
There's two stories that are kind of companion stories. There's a story in the Atlantic about Ammon that's not very favorable. Then there's Ammon's side of the story on people's rights. I've got both stories. We'll talk about the details and what's happened. And does this really mean it only relates to, say, Ken Cromar, Ammon Bundy? Or does this really mean it's coming for Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman and eventually you? Because, of course, you weren't a Jew, don't you know? Oh, I can't say that. That'd be anti-Semitic, right? All right. They're coming for us all, folks. They want to prison us or kill us. I hate to say it, but it's true. You say I'm over the target, or you say I'm too extreme, we'll discuss next hour. God save the Republic!